Hello, everyone, and welcome to the So You Had a Baby podcast, episode 23. Today, we will be chatting with Kate Westervelt. Kate is the founder and CEO of Mombox and mama to one child with another one on the way. Mombox is a women's wellness company on a mission to take better care of new moms during the postpartum recovery period. Kate created this company after buying postpartum care essentials in the grocery store shortly after giving birth, and desire to provide the convenience of a postpartum care kit so other mamas wouldn't have to make the trip to the store as well. Mombox ships postpartum care kits direct to consumer filled with the healing aids new moms need across the U.S. and Canada.
It was so wonderful having Kate on to share her postpartum story and share about her amazing business. She's so genuine, and her willingness to share so honestly about all that she overcame will surely help every mama out there know that she's not alone and that it's okay to take care of yourself. And she's made taking care of yourself a little easier. So stay tuned. We cannot wait for you to hear this.
Welcome to the So You Had a Baby podcast. We are your hosts, Inkiru and Krista.
We'll be sharing empowering stories and topics to inspire women to grow and love themselves more throughout their postpartum journey.
Join us each week as we work to change the stigma around postpartum.
Okay, well, we are so excited to have you on tonight, Kate. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. I'm going to have you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so my name is Kate Westervelt, and I am the CEO and founder of a company called Mombox. I am a mother to a 3.5-year-old named Noah, and I'm actually 20 weeks pregnant with my second child, who we just found out will be a boy.
Yay! Congratulations!
Oh, congrats. That's awesome.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, we're very excited. And then the thing that led me into, you know, starting my own company, it was in fact the birth of my son and just being, you know, completely unprepared for motherhood and the postpartum recovery process. So it was through that pain and suffering of trying to recover from giving birth that I started Mombox back in 2016. So yeah.
Wow, so amazing.
Awesome. I love what you're doing and your business and what you've created. But speaking of giving birth, if you could describe your postpartum experience in one word, what would it be and why?
I would describe my postpartum experience as overwhelming. And the reason is because I had just a complete identity shift that I was unprepared for. I had a bunch of postpartum complications that no one had really talked about prior to giving birth. And so I was just sort of drowning in postpartum recovery and caring for a newborn. And my entire identity had shifted from sort of this independent person who I could just go and come as I pleased. And now all of a sudden I had this new life to care for. So yeah, overwhelming.
I'm so glad that you kind of brought to attention the fact that the identity shift, because I can totally relate in that. It's everything changes, and it is a total game changer.
It is completely overwhelming.
overwhelming.
Perfect word.
Yeah. And so many women are like really cut out for it and they really like adapt well to the identity shift and they welcome it. And then some of us just sort of, it's very jarring to sort of switch your identity and who you are to become somebody's lifeline. So yeah.
Yeah.
Completely. I relate to that. I know so many other women do as well.
Yeah.
That are listening.
I think honestly, sometimes even if you are cut out for it, it's a complete, there's a curveball in everything you thought you knew. So, it's crazy, but I'm going to have you just jump right into your postpartum story.
My postpartum story was a lot of little things that added up into one sort of big overwhelming, you know, 3-year experience. So right after giving birth, I had a series of just physical pain and recovery complications. So I had a serious UTI from the catheter that was used during my epidural. And so that complicated my healing process. I had second degree tears. I had engorgement and mastitis. My son was jaundiced right away. So we had to actually head back to the ER after we returned home. And that increased my anxiety levels severely. And also it meant that I wasn't caring for my own recovery and my own needs right after giving birth and returning home from the hospital, because we just had to go right back. And I was not concerned or preoccupied with any sort of healing or recovering of my own body, because we were, you know, paying attention to this newborn. And so it was just all of these like very tiny little complications that all came back to back to back. And I think all of it really kind of contributed as this perfect storm into what I later found out was PPA, postpartum anxiety. So within that first year of being home as well, both my son and my husband actually ended up with life-threatening allergic reactions that led us by ambulance to the ER. So, you know, that was just a complicated year of, you know, trying to get back on my feet, trying to get back to work as a working mom, trying to, you know, breastfeed. So the whole thing was just really, like I said, overwhelming. So I suffered in silence for about 3 years. So it wasn't until this January that my husband and I actually suffered a miscarriage. And it sort of spun us into this cycle of like really communicating, going to see a therapist and really opening the floodgates. It sort of sent us on this journey to sort of, you know, figure out, you know, not necessarily why I had a miscarriage, but, you know, how can we create more stability within our marriage? Mm-hmm. And it was through this like conversation that, you know, and just starting to speak my fears out loud to my husband that I realized, you know, some of these fears were not normal. And he sort of looked at me and said, okay, you know, I think it's time for you to go see somebody. And it was like all of a sudden the most relief I had felt in 3 years. So all of a sudden, you know, I was voicing these fears of mine out loud, and I would voice them to my best friend too. And she would sort of say, okay, you know, that seems a little unreasonable. And then my husband would say, you know, all of these fears that you have are really affecting the way you communicate with me. And I think it's time for you to go see somebody. And so, like I said, I had been sort of suffering in silence for 3 years. I like to call myself a very high functioning anxiety sufferer. I was functioning and building my company and, you know, taking meetings and talking with investors. And I was really high functioning. Yeah. And yet I was just never sleeping and not taking care of myself in the way I should have. So I went and saw a postpartum anxiety therapist, and my, you know, just immediately within 3 weeks, you know, everything, a weight had been lifted, and I, you know, had all of these tools in my toolbox now to deal with certain scenarios, and I had coping mechanisms that I didn't have before. And yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
That is quite the 3 years that you've had. I commend you for your strength through all of it, for knowing when to reach out and find help, for keeping your sanity through all of the curveballs and the hard that was thrown at you. And while doing all of that, as if that's not enough to commend you for, you started a business that's really amazing in that time frame. That's incredible.
Thank you. Yes, it's been a crazy 3 year ride, but just taking that step back and finding a therapist and finding, you know, meditation and time for my own balance really, really has helped come a long way for this year, for 2019. So yeah. So thanks.
Oh. Yeah. That is such an incredible journey that you shared with us, and in your postpartum anxiety and how that all kind of developed. And I guess what I'm wondering, and also for our listeners, is how did you identify it as anxiety? Did you know that you had anxiety early on, and did you find it to be an issue, or were you just like, okay, this is life?
Yeah, it's a good question. I grew up in a house with a lot of both anxiety and depression. And so, but I also had parents who were like really aware of anxiety and depression in general. And so they had a very open dialogue with me and my brothers, my whole upbringing. And so I very well, like I had a very good handle on the difference between anxiety and sometimes that line is so blurry and they overlap so much, anxiety and depression. I wasn't suffering from sort of depression or even like an extended baby blues. Like I had no sadness surrounding my well-being. I could very difference between the weight of worry versus the weight of sadness. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, really generalizing the two, because I said there is so much gray area between PPA and PPD, and not enough conversation about it. But the only way I could identify was by speaking my thoughts out loud and then gauging the reaction of people, trusted people in my life. So I would say a scenario that I was harboring inside, and I would say, what are your thoughts on that? How does that sound to you? I would speak the scenarios that I was harboring inside to, you know, my closest of people, my husband and my best friend. And when they would return back and say, you know, that feels like a little bit extreme, that's not going to happen, and you should not waste your energy thinking about that. You know, every scenario I would play out to them, they would kind of come back and say, okay, this is extreme, this is getting extreme. Or my husband would say, you know, how is that even a possibility in your brain? And so I just started to say, okay, I'm feeling this way. And they were the ones that encouraged me to go see somebody. So, but then when I would get in front of my therapist, you know, it's no holds bar. I'm just telling her every irrational thought that I have, mm-hmm. and every fear. And, you know, she can say to me, okay, this is, you know, an extreme level of postpartum anxiety, or, you know, this is normal. She could kind of, you know, regulate. And then she had all these great tools to help me sort of, you sort of work the steps, almost like AA. You have to work the steps of like retraining your brain and reframing the scenario. So it was through the help of friends and family that I could identify, okay, this isn't depression, this is anxiety.
I think that's really powerful, because in that place with anxiety, and I don't have personal experience, but when you're feeling those extreme, to be able to vocalize them and say that thing out loud, that feels really terrifying to even, you know, to think, so much that's much less to say it to somebody else is hard. And so for you to recognize that maybe I need to start sharing this, and to be able to share that with a friend and your husband and have them hear you and not, you know, brush it off, but recognize you're coming to them for help. I think that's hard to do. And I think that's amazing that you found the strength to vocalize that heart.
Yeah, that would be my recommendation, is just the sooner you can vocalize to somebody and just say, hey, I think I may be struggling with postpartum anxiety. Can I bounce this off of you? And can you give me your honest opinion? You know, or just seeking a therapist over the phone or trusted friend or spouse. Yeah. The sooner you can even have the conversation, the better off you'll be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's a really important note, because a lot of the time we're kind of wanting to not voice that because we feel ashamed.
Right.
Or we feel like there's nothing wrong, or maybe it happens to a lot of people. But what you made a really good point is that that's really the first step, is to be big enough to voice that to someone else. Like, hey, this is what I'm going through, and this is what I'm feeling. So I do admire that as well. But in your whole experience of what you explained, you did share struggles and wins. But what would you say was your biggest struggle, and what would you say was your biggest win in postpartum?
Yeah. So outside of postpartum anxiety, the biggest struggle for me was my loss of my old identity and trying to like adopt the new identity of mom and caretaker for this new child. That was my biggest struggle. I didn't expect to not like parts of motherhood. And there were parts of motherhood that really felt suffocating to me in the beginning. So I don't necessarily think it's fair for moms to be expected to love all parts of motherhood all the time. And so I felt like in the beginning, I felt like I was supposed to. And then finally, I was like, you know what, to heck with this. I don't love getting my kid in and out of the car seat. I don't love carrying a diaper back everywhere. I don't like navigating public restrooms with a stroller, like, you know, and all of this was now my new identity. And so I had to learn to live with the good and the bad, with the expectation that I was supposed to love it all, but I didn't. And I also missed my freedom, you know, my freedom to up and go whenever I wanted without somebody's life depending on me. So,
yeah.
And then the biggest win was just, I built a company out of the struggle of postpartum recovery.
Yeah.
That's a big win for not only you, but everyone else who benefits from your company.
Seriously, that is a huge win.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
And really admirable that you're able to pull that through and pull that off. through whatever, all the things that you were going through, you were able to still create something so amazing out of it and so helpful for not only yourself, but for so many other women. So I think that that is super admirable. And I really, again, just love what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. I agree. So looking back in your first year of postpartum, is there anything you would do differently?
I committed to be the officiant at a wedding 5 weeks after my son was born.
oh no.
And 200 people. And I committed to it before I had any idea what motherhood would be like. And I should have said no. And I would recommend that all moms know a lot more in the first 6 months postpartum. So yeah, I wouldn't do that again. You're bleeding and you're leaking and you haven't slept. Uh-huh. It was a wonderful, beautiful ceremony, but it was just too taxing on a new mom who's experiencing everything for the first time. So
yeah.
I totally like that advice though, to not do anything or not to commit to anything big in the first 6 months.
Agreed.
That is so key.
I was also in a wedding, I think, in the first 6 weeks postpartum, and to have to worry about leaking and something nice is really concerning.
yeah. And you know, you're not, those are the days where like, you're kind of like soft and mushy and you're not working out and you're just sort of eating to sustain your breast milk. And I looked tired and it was just emotionally too taxing.
That is great advice. The things we commit to before giving birth, we're like, no, I can handle it. This is going to be so easy.
Yes. So just do less. That's what I would do. If I had to do it again, I would literally just clear the calendar for 6 months. And as I was feeling great, I would add things back in, but I would commit to nothing. And I would not be afraid to tell people, no, you know, I need my space. I'm learning a new job right now. I'm learning to be a mother.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Which is a huge job. One of the most important in the world. So
it is. And it is totally a job. It's a job.
Right.
Yes.
It's probably harder than any job you'll ever do.
Yeah. Just exactly. The breastfeeding part alone, just the nursing and feeding the child is like an additional full-time job. And then you have to like learn to be a mom. Yeah. So
yeah. And then care for yourself as well, because you just had a big identity shift.
Right.
It is a lot. And if you knew what you know now, what are three things you would say to your prenatal self to help you in postpartum?
So the three things I would say to myself would be, you know, to put as much effort into writing a postpartum recovery plan as I did into writing a birth plan. Like I planned up everything until the baby arrived. And what I would tell myself is like, really put pen to paper on, you know, who's going to be allowed to come and help you? How are you going to carve out time every day to take a shower, prep your meals ahead of time, prep the supplies you need, like have them all on hand, have your lactation consultants and your sleep therapists and postpartum anxiety therapists, just numbers, just have them all ready to go. If you don't need them, you don't need them, but better to have all that stuff written down and ready and put that effort into like a recovery plan, like you would your birth plan.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
I think about that.
I love.
If we weren't on a podcast, I'd be clapping for you right now. But that is probably some of the best solid advice I've ever heard, because it's so true. Everyone tells you plan what you're going to pack in your birthing plan and what's going to be in your bag, but who cares what's in your bag? It's what you need to do when you get home and how you need to recover and what that might even look like. So
yeah, like set visitor hours.
Yes.
Like don't be afraid.
Oh my goodness, like set
your plan. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. And not only that, I mean, to your point of writing down your postpartum plan, that you can have more in control of your postpartum than in your birth plan. Because whenever you plan your birth plan, it usually goes the opposite of how you've planned it. Whereas for your postpartum plan, you actually have control. Setting your visitor hours, definitely that's something that you can control. Having meals ready, meal prepping, that's definitely something you can control.
Yeah.
So I feel like that is so genius. Like having a postpartum plan is, you can be so in control of that. Whereas your birth plan, it's a toss-up.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
And the resources, like you said, knowing those resources, you may not even need them, but knowing that those resources are even available, like a therapist, yes, or something we've talked about, like a pelvic floor therapist, or just all, yeah, of these people who are there to help you succeed that you don't know about until it's too late to know, or, you know, you wish you knew 7 months prior, you know, so knowing, right, that they're there is huge.
Right.
Yep. 100%. Yeah. My brother actually just had a baby, and he actually scheduled the cleaning crew to come in like 1 week postpartum for them. And he said, we're going to go for a walk. They're going to come in and deep clean everything. And it's already on, yes, the books. So
I love
and
that.
And I just thought, that's genius. Genius. That's idea. So
genius.
Yeah.
And then the other two things I would say to myself are, like I said, clear the calendar for 6 months, you know, say no to everything and then add as you feel good enough to do it. Just really give yourself a break. You are learning a new job, and you need a chance to learn that role and, you know, struggle in the privacy of your own setting and comfort. So, and then the third thing is that postpartum anxiety is really a silent sister to postpartum depression. No one really talks about it. But the faster we can seek a therapist and seek help, the faster life will balance out.
So if I can ask, yeah, a question on that, I love, yeah, that you say that, but like, how did you know that I didn't even know that there was such thing as postpartum anxiety therapist. So how did you know to look for that and where to find them?
Yeah, to be completely honest, I don't know that I did know right away. I mean, it took me 3 years and it took a lot of fighting with my husband to say, you're really making me feel this way. What has happened to you? And I had to like walk back every scenario. Well, I said this to you in this way because I'm fearful of this happening. And if we don't do something, this catastrophic thing will happen. And so I would like go on mom groups on Facebook and somebody, you know, said, you know, that's catastrophic thinking and you need to go see a therapist. And so then I would look up like postpartum therapists and I would, you know, just online research and just slowly crawling to the answer, which is why I wish there was more dialogue about it. So I can say, yes, postpartum anxiety is a very real thing. And there are therapists out there versus a mom having to sort of crawl through her symptoms like I did and try to find the answers. So yeah, it took a lot of research and sort of crawling from one symptom to the next to get an answer and talking to other moms. So that's why I'm happy to say, you know, postpartum anxiety is a real thing. And don't go, you know, having to crawl from symptom to symptom to look for the answer. Go find a certified, you know, PPD, PPA therapist. Mm-hmm.
Good. Well, I'm so glad that you're sharing your story. I'm so thankful because there's so many women I know that, and just in all of the things that you shared with, you know, putting your health last, and you've shared so many things that you dealt with that it's just so refreshing to hear you be honest and share those hard things so that someone else listening can hear them and feel one at peace, knowing that you're not alone and that knowing that there's resources even.
I think one of the things that will probably leave women asking questions is, you know, well, what were your anxieties and what were you doing? And I'm always happy to talk about though. They seem a little bit crazy now. And people sort of laugh at me when I talk about some of the things I was doing and ruminating about and thinking about. Like I said, I was having catastrophic thoughts. Mm. So like, you know, the end of the world type of thinking. And so I'm always happy to, you know, connect with women on that and be a sounding board for them, because I think sometimes people are left in the dark about like what actually, you know, were those thoughts that you were thinking, those actions you were doing. So yeah. Always happy to talk about
that. That's really beautiful, yeah, that you open yourself up like that as a resource, because not everybody has someone willing to be that soundboard. And in finding, I think we've talked about this before, but, and you touched on it as well, but like having people that you trust that you can go to and share these things is so necessary.
Yeah, wow. For sure.
So What would you say is the biggest lesson that you've learned from your postpartum experience that you pass on to someone else? I think we've kind of touched on it a lot, but
yeah, the biggest lesson for me about my postpartum experience was just to sort of speak up. The faster you can speak up about any of your pains or your sufferings or your anxieties, and you don't have to, you know, speak up loudly, you can just say, hey, I am feeling this kind of way. Could I bounce this off of you really quickly? I think that women are too often taking care of the newborn, their marriage, the house, their careers, to stop and say, okay, well, how am I doing? So the sooner and the faster you can attend to your own needs, everybody else will be okay if you're okay. So just checking in with yourself, you know, fast and regularly.
Absolutely. You cannot pour from an empty cup.
Exactly. That's what we say. Yep.
That is so good. So let's just move on a little bit onto your business and talk a little bit more about that. You created such a outstanding product for women that can use for postpartum, like months after postpartum, or it's a care kit for women to use almost immediately after postpartum, right? So I just want you to help us like understand more about your business.
So MomBox is a care kit, is a postpartum recovery care kit for new moms. So it features things that really no one is having glamorous conversations about before, like mesh underwear, peri rinse bottles, ice packs for your vagina. We're talking about anything from like therapeutic heat packs to help with letdown of your breasts, of your breast milk, or, you know, incision help if you've had a C-section. It's really clinical healing aids that most moms are unaware they'll need before they're leaving the hospital. So what we do is we sort of source all of the best products, we test them, we put them in this care kit, and we deliver it to your door so you don't have to sort of run out on your way home from the hospital for these recovery aids that you're going to need for your own rest and restoration once you've given birth. So the idea came to me because it wasn't until I was leaving the hospital and the nurses were bringing me like a few pairs of mesh underwear and something called a sitz bath that I said to my husband, I don't have any of this stuff prepared at home. No one told me about any of this stuff that I would need. Would you mind stopping at Target?
/ You don't even know what it is. Half the stuff I never even heard of.
Right.
Yeah. So I the nurse was like, this is a sitz bath. And I was like, sitz bath? Like, what is that? Is that even English? Like, what are those words? You know, they don't like roll off your tongue very easily. And so, you know, I was so unprepared, but my nursery was perfect and my hospital bag was perfect, but my postpartum care products were nowhere to be seen. And so I said to my husband, you know, I don't have any of this stuff. I don't have pads even, and all of the hospital freebies are going to run out fast. Can you stop at Target? I'll run in. And I did. I ran in and I was waddling between the pharmacy section and the newborn section, trying to figure out like what I needed, what was safe to put on my body as a nursing mom. And I was just really underwhelmed by the selection. I knew there had to be better products online, but at that point I had no time to order those products and wait for them to be delivered. So when I finally got back to the car, I sort of said to my husband, we live in a convenience economy. Why aren't we providing this convenience for new moms? And so that's when I decided to go try to build it.
Yes. Oh man. That's so, it's so overwhelming. And I agree. You said underwhelming with what you can find and overwhelming that you don't even know what to look for.
Right. Right. You're like, I was like Googling ingredients in the aisle. Like, can I put nipple balm safe? Like, you know,
exactly.
I remember one of the gifts I got a baby shower from my cousin / best friend. She gave me a package of Tucks and I was like, what is this?
Yeah.
She's like, you'll know when you'll figure it out. Once you give birth, you'll thank me. I was like, okay, that's a weird gift, but okay.
Right. And
that was like the most important thing I had in all of my house.
Right. Yeah. No, exactly. It. The best, those products kind of come like under the table from your closest mom friend. And she'll be like, you're going to need this. Just trust me. So I thought
right.
Package it up in something really pretty and make it common for moms to gift it to each other. So
man, I remember like just on YouTube every single day, like top 10 newborn essential items, top 10 mom items, like all of these different things. And not once did sitz bath come into play or was brought up, or, you know, some of these other products that we actually needed immediately after postpartum. Thank you for creating that, because it is so necessary. There were so many things where I looked at and I was like, why do I need this? Like, what is this for? Yeah. What does this mean? And I just felt so incompetent. It's so needed. So the fact that you can have everything in one essential kit, one box, incredible.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, and we launched a C-section kit and a deluxe kit. So yeah, we're growing and we're expanding, and I still can't believe that there's a company and we're growing. You know, like, it's always still,
yeah,
it always flabbergasts me. So yeah, I'm grateful.
Well, you chose a good market, because women are having babies every day, multiple times a day. So there's definitely
a need. Yeah, it will definitely be a need for a lifetime. But if you were to start over with your business, Kate, what would you do, or would you do anything differently?
Yeah, I think it's a good question. So much is like a necessary growing pain that it's hard to sort of disconnect for a second and think about that. But I think in the beginning, I wasted a lot of time talking to other people about my idea, looking for approval. Like, I wanted to get like everybody's approval. But the thing was that these postpartum care kits didn't exist yet. And you know, if you're talking to men, they're sort of removed and have no idea. And, you know, so I spent a lot of time just like looking for people to approve the idea. And because it didn't exist anywhere in the world, it was hard for them to see my vision. And so in retrospect, I sort of would have just like put my head down and started building earlier, instead of looking for people to approve and bless the idea in order for me to move forward.
Yeah.
I think maybe that's just a testament to being, you know, a female, and I'm always like looking for somebody to like grant me the access or bless the idea to move forward. I don't know why I didn't just kind of grab it by the balls in the beginning and get going with it. So yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't waste time. I would just go and build it. And if it fails, it'll fail fast and you can move on. Or if it's a good idea, it'll, you know, you'll get there faster. So yeah.
Yeah. That's a really good lesson learned, because I feel like so many women, I think when you say women too, I feel like women are so eager to get that approval. I know that myself as well. You want somebody to say, oh, that's going to be great. And until you get that, you feel like you're kind of waiting. Whereas you're still planning and have got this amazing idea. It could have been done faster had, you know, you just jumped on it and trusted that you know what you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing. You do know, you know, if you have a track record that's successful and you've built a good life and career and you've been just generally more successful than not, I wouldn't waste time going around seeking everybody's approval. I would just trust your abilities. So yeah, that's what I would have done faster.
I like it. That's solid advice. Don't waste time. Just start, for sure.
Well, and that's what I said. That's actually going to be my next question: was if you had to give advice to any mama or woman who wants to start her own business, what would it be? But I think that's pretty solid advice.
Yes, and here's the thing: I always thought starting a business was supposed to look a certain way and be really put together and fluid and organized, and it's actually not. It's completely scrappy and it's unhinged, and it's weird hours and you're doing weird things to make it work, and it can look like chaos. And so I think that that's really important for somebody to hear, is that it might feel really uncomfortable in the beginning. And I think that's okay. And it doesn't mean that you're doing it wrong.
I know we've joked about it, but if anyone had a behind the scenes camera seeing, you know, what it really looked like, they'd be like, are you serious?
100%. Yes.
So you're saying you're not in a studio with producers? No, we're in our closet.
We're in the closet.
We're in my car. Trying to get a signal. Yeah.
That's real life.
Yeah. You got to do what you got to do to make it work. And it's going to be beautiful because you're working hard. That's what's important.
Right. So, well, thanks for sharing that. Moving on to our last question here is, and our one of our favorite questions is, what is your favorite mom hack, Kate?
Oh, gosh. It's a little shameful because I care a lot about, you know, the environment and planet Earth. But I, on my busy, busy weeks, I use paper plates at home. And I know that that is like so trivial and silly, but I just don't, the dishes, man, just like cut yourself a break and just use paper plates. Use recycled paper plates. It doesn't matter, but paper plates are my mom hack when I have like 9 weeks and I just don't have time for dishes, like paper everything.
I really like that one.
I really like how simple that is and like non-crazy. It's just paper plates. But I have a question. Is it you're using paper plates in certain times or you're always using paper plates at home?
I have two times that I use it. When I have a crazy week and I know that like my time is precious and I just don't want to waste time with a ton of like dishes and cleanup, or my husband's crazy and he's traveling for work. I'm like, you know what? What can I do? Can I eliminate one thing? Mm-hmm. And besides making my kid wear like the same clothes like two or three times to eliminate laundry duty, I just give everybody paper plates. And yeah, and I feel guilty about it, but also it's like the only way I survive in those busy weeks. And then the other thing is when I'm having casual company over, like a dinner party or just friends, and I know they won't judge me, I use paper plates because what I would rather do is spend that time in the evening just like conversing with them and talking. And I don't want anybody to feel strained to get up and do the dishes. And so I just like keep it as simple as possible. And I think people appreciate that casualness too. So when in doubt, when you're having a crazy week, just eliminate dishes, do paper plates.
Wow. It's pretty incredible that you say paper plates because if I'm thinking about what we use at home the majority of the time, I never think to use paper plates. When it's us or when we're having like a couple friends over, I never think to use paper plates. It's always when we're having like more people over, then we'll use it. But that's the only time. But you're so right. Like, just use it in your busy weeks. Use it when you don't want to do dishes. Like, it's so simple. I love it.
Yeah. And I agree. If I could have my daughter wear the same clothes and I wear the same clothes every day, then, you know, that would definitely cut a lot of time. But that's, you know, people really frown on that. So paper plates is a much easier way to go. Less judgment, I'm sure.
I wish I had some Pinterest mom hack, but that's really it. My vice is this paper plate thing that I do.
Make more use of paper plates. Noted.
So, Kate, I'm going to have you, if you could tell our listeners how to find you and your social media, your website, wherever you are, can you point them in your direction? Because I think every mom, pregnant woman needs to know where to find you.
For sure. So anybody can come over to mom-box.com. There's a dash in there, a little hyphen. So mom-box.com. And then they can find us on Instagram, just at mombox, mombox. Very simple. And they can always drop us a line, hello@mom-box.com. We love to hear from women, mothers, friends of mothers. It's an amazing community that we're building. So that's where they can find us.
Awesome.
Thank you so much. And I also wanted to ask, I know earlier in your story, you talked about PPA and you also talked about open to moms reaching out to you about it or you just talking more about it. If there is a mom listening that does want to connect with you about it, where is like the best place for them to contact you or like to chat about it or share their story with you?
I would encourage them to reach out. I know this sounds so silly, but if they DM'd me on Instagram, so my personal Instagram handle is at Kate Westervelt, just literally my name, at Kate Westervelt. And to just shoot me a DM there, that's probably the least crowded space for me right now. And I can make sure that I get back to people pretty consistently there. And from there, we can move the conversation to email. But I think that's the most direct way to just sort of swap mom stories. So that's always open to anybody.
Thank you so much, Kate. It was such a joy speaking with you. Loved our conversation. I loved your story as well.
Yes, and we are so grateful for you taking the time to come on and be part of be part of our community. We are so grateful.
Yes.
Thank you, guys, and thanks for opening the airwaves to have these conversations. It's great.
Also, mamas, be sure to check out our resource page for a 15% discount on all Mombox orders using the code HADABABY. That's 15% off all Mombox orders with the code HADABABY. It's such a great gift for any mamas you know having baby or for yourself.
Thank you so much for joining us this week. We are absolutely grateful and humbled that you would take the time to tune in today. Please join us each week as we change the stigma around postpartum and help build a community where women can feel supported, loved, and empowered.
If you'd like to connect with us, follow us on Instagram at So You Had a Baby Podcast, or you can check out our website at soyouhadababypod.com. And if you want to hear more and be part of this community, please subscribe to our podcast. We'd love for you to join us each week.